What's up, Playlisters? Brian from Playlist Wars here. Just want to let you know that while this show is on hiatus, both Gomez and I have separate shows that are part of the Playlist Wars extended universe, if you will. Gomez has the Sleevey G Show, which you can find at SleeveyGPodcasts.com. And I have a new show entitled My Weekly Mixtape, which you can find over at MyWeeklyMixtape.com. Both shows are also available on all podcast platforms just by searching Sleevey G Show or My Weekly Mixtape. And Playlist Wars will be back soon. Thank you guys so much for your continued support of the show.
What's up, Combat Crew? This is Matt from Mortal Kombat, and you're listening to Playlist Wars. Let the battle begin.
Welcome to Playlist Wars. I'm part of the dynamic duo. My name is Gomez, and I have my very well-established Brian Colburn with returning guest Chris Hartman from Films Exile. How's everybody doing tonight?
What's up? What's up?
What's going on? Happy to be here, guys.
Welcome back, Chris. Good to have you, man.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me on again. Are you kidding me? I don't know if I've worn out my welcome yet. It's going to happen. It's only a matter of time.
Well, I don't know, man. You're 2-1, I'm 1-2, and Brian's got the 0-3 going here, buddy.
We're calling this Christmas Redemption. This is going to be the Christmas Redemption episode. God, I hope.
Now, what kind of Christmas are we talking about?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Gomez. Tonight, our topic is untraditional Christmas music, meaning traditional Christmas, when you think about it, it's songs from the 50s and 60s. It's your Frank Sinatras. It's your Bing Crosby. It's the old school classics would be the best way to describe it. Untraditional Christmas music is basically everything after 1980, when kind of music went awry and all different genres took a swing at recording Christmas tunes. Yeah, so that's kind of the way we're defining untraditional Christmas music tonight. So it's a wide open slate, anything from 1980 on. And the three of us have each individually created a playlist with our top 10 favorites, none of which have been shared between the three of us prior to now. Throughout the episode, we'll each reveal our track ones through track tens one by one and craft what we each feel is the perfect untraditional Christmas songs playlist. After the episode, we turn it over to you, the amazing playlisters, to vote at PlaylistWarsPodcast.com and decide once and for all which one of us got it right. And while you're over at PlaylistWarsPodcast.com, you can also listen to each of our playlists just in case you want to quote-unquote hear where we're coming from with our choices. And later on in the show, we'll each get to choose our one honorable mention song of the night, which, as you remember, needs to be a song that one of the other two people on the episode picked, but you did not. And finally, since this is a topic-themed episode, if a song comes up by a band or artist, even if you didn't pick that particular song, that would be the time to bring it up in conversation. Because we may not see song crossovers or trifectas, but we may see some band and artist ones tonight. So with that being said, I hope you're ready to kick things off, Chris.
Oh, come on. Cheesy dad.
Don't be a Grinch.
Hey, Brian, why don't you just tell everyone your list is 1 through 10. You too, Christmas, come home, baby. That's it. We're done.
Oh, you know, that's been a thing ever since
you too.
You too episode. So we're going to have to see. I don't know.
We're going to have to see because the time has come. It is Christmas time.
It's time to see. But Chris, we're going to let you kick things off. So why don't you slay everyone with your track one?
I'm in pain. And this was actually in some ways a little tough because Christmas is like my favorite holiday. I know it's cliche, but it's my favorite holiday. So I wanted to go parody. That's the direction I wanted to go. So I wanted to go parody to make myself laugh. So this was actually in some ways kind of difficult. But once I got into it, it was a lot less difficult than I thought it was going to be. So kick it off with number one. My first song on my playlist is from 2006, and it's Twisted Sister's O Come All Ye Faithful.
Jesus Christ.
This entire album, by the way, Twisted Christmas, is freaking gold. I don't know if you guys know it, but it is gold. The video for the song is hysterical. It's pretty much We're Not Going to Take It. That's pretty much what it is. The song is like this perfect homage to it as well. And I'm sure like the ultra religious people weren't happy with Twisted Sister's take.
No, probably not.
But you know what? You got to understand Dee Snider and Twisted Sister and what they do. The album is littered with like all these guitar riffs from classic songs that are placed into Christmas songs. So it's just this blast from beginning to end. And I played O Come All Ye Faithful, this version, at a gig once, and like the entire crowd was jumping up and down. So I'm starting my playlist with some old school rock and roll, man. I love this song.
Wow. Never thought about it. And to start off, I would probably say that's going to be probably one of my honorable mentions today, Twisted Sister.
Well, if it makes your honorable mention, Gomez, that will make it an honorary trifecta because O Come O Ye Faithful is my track six.
Nice. Nice.
Look, we went to a Catholic high school, and always around the holidays, we would have mass and they would sing certain songs during mass. And one of the ones I actually enjoyed was O Come O Ye Faithful. And when a rock version of it came out back in 2006, sung to the tune of We're Not Going to Take It, I was all in. I mean, it's absolutely fantastic.
And I think Sister Inez played it too when we were in high school.
Yeah, exactly. And to me, it was like kind of nostalgic, but kind of fun, and it's Twisted Sister. What else needs to be said? The video's fantastic. It's got Dee Snider with the big hair, and it's kind of a play on the original music video. I mean, there's nothing more Christmas than Dee Snider. So track six, Twisted Sister, O Come O Ye Faithful, for the win. Gomez, you're up with your track one.
So my track one, I found something that was really interesting, and it's called Xmas in Hell, which we call Christmas in Hell, by 6 a.m., Nikki Sixx's band. Yeah, he starts, you hear his guitar in the background, he's talking about it, and then boom, it just goes into this Christmas in Hell song, which is really good. So I'm starting off hardcore, 6 a.m., Xmas in Hell, or Christmas in Hell, a.k.a.
Matt, respect for the pick. I don't have it anywhere on my list. That is, I mean, I'm expecting stuff to be completely out of left field.
Oh, this was left out of field.
And that is way out of left field. So kudos to you, man, because that's very non-traditional.
Yeah, I know.
I love the pick. I absolutely love the pick. And that's one that didn't even go on my radar. And it should, because 6 a.m. is a great hard rock band.
Yep.
And that was actually put out with Life is Beautiful as like a single back in the day. And Life is Beautiful is a fantastic hard rock song. I absolutely love it. And I didn't even think to put that one on my list. So that one is I don't want to say it's an honorable mention pick of the night because we're only on song one and we got a long way to go, but I will say kudos on that choice.
Thank you.
Now, my track one is, I would like to call it a modern traditional Christmas song. So it's still untraditional as it's modern music, but to me, it doesn't get more modern traditional than the Brian Setzer Orchestra. They've put out tons of fantastic Christmas albums, and one of the songs was originally made famous by Glenn Miller, and Brian Setzer Orchestra recorded Getting in the Mood for his Vavoom album in 2000. However, in 2005, on the Dig That Crazy Christmas album, he put out a Christmas-focused version of the track, Getting in the Mood for Christmas. And the Brian Setzer Orchestra was one of those key drivers in the swing revival of the late 90s. However, that swing revival did not last long, yet he continued on, and it's because of the Christmas albums that he did. His guitar playing is insane, and these Christmas albums are a perfect blend of rockabilly, swing, fun, and honestly, charm that he's able to pull off these songs in a fun yet endearing way. So you could tell the band is having a blast playing on these tracks, and as a listener, you have fun. So Brian Setzer Orchestra is a mainstay on my Christmas playlist every year, and I couldn't think of a better way to kick off this untraditional Christmas list than with a modern traditional Christmas song, Brian Setzer Orchestra, Getting in the Mood for Christmas, my track one.
Nice pick, Brian. Didn't make my list, but it's a good pick, though.
No, it didn't make my list either, but I can't fault you for having them on. I like a lot of the music. I really do. And this is one I haven't heard. So now you just, and this is sometimes that's one of the coolest things that about being on with you guys that we do is like, I start typing along while you guys are both talking. So I'll be like, huh, I don't know if I've ever really heard that song, or I heard it a long time ago and I have to re-listen to it. This is one that Brian, I got to be honest, I don't think I've ever heard it.
Well, you know the song In the Mood.
Yes.
Well, he basically put lyrics to it. And it's a Christmas theme song cut to In the Mood. And it's just, it's so much fun. The kids love it. You know, it's just, it puts us instantly puts a smile on your face. And I kind of wanted to start my playlist from a different place. And I wanted to start very, very happy. So I did with that one. But Chris, let's see where you go after Twisted Sisters, O Come, O Ye Faithful with your track two.
So track two, I'm going to 2008. And I'm going with one of my top bands. It's Weezer doing their cover of The First Noel. So my track two is another take on a classic. But for me, it's really far from traditional. I love the two of these things that go together. I love The First Noel. I think it's a great Christmas, you know, old school Christmas song. And I love Weezer. So, you know, winning, right? Weezer's take on this song for me is like really a reflection for them. The guitar riffs are perfect. The tone has that Weezer-ish mix of grunge and rock, and the vocals are spot on. And the song was actually written for an app for the makers of Tap Tap Revenge. Yeah. And then they went off and they enhanced it and released it as a digital EP instead. So for me, that's like just weird enough to be very Weezer, if you guys know what I'm saying. Like, it's just weird enough to be them. So it gets my second spot because I love Weezer. I like the song. It's really weird like Weezer is. It's very non-traditional, even though it's a traditional song in The First Noel. But check out this version. It's a really cool version of the song.
Gonna have to check that version. Didn't make my list, unfortunately.
For listeners of Playlist Wars, we have an entire Weezer episode. And on that episode, I do not mention their Christmas EP. And Gomez, who did not know they had a Christmas EP, did not bust my chops about it. So I'm so thankful for that.
I'm not saying a word, man.
But I absolutely love the Weezer's Christmas EP. I wish they would have put it out on physical media. It is available, unfortunately, only digitally. So I did have to purchase the high-res flax of it instead. But I'm still hoping that one day they finish and expand it and release it on physical CD because I think it's great. Unfortunately, it did not make my list right now, but another contender because it's fantastic. And you called it Weezer-esque. I like to call it Weezer-y is the word I think is a good description of Weezer.
And you know what where I'm coming from with that, right? Like they're weird. They got got a very unique sound. Yeah, it's Weezer-y. Okay, yeah. I'll go with Weezer-y instead of Weezer.
All right, Gomez. Now, being Weezer's not on your list, what's your non-Weezer-y track two?
As usual, Brian, I always say I went all over the place with this one.
He picked an Easter song, folks.
No, I did not. Oh my God, you're killing me right now. I went with Blink-182, I Won't Be Home for Christmas.
Cool.
I figure punkish. You know what I mean? When Blink-182 was in its prime, and this is when it came out with, whoever thought they would actually come out with a decent Christmas song? So I Won't Be Home for Christmas gives you a little bit of that nostalgia of punk, if you remember back in the day when they were good, well, really good. And I think Travis is a little busy with Kourtney Kardashian right now.
Oh,
we're not TMZ. Keep it to the music, folks.
I'm just saying he's busy with his new lifestyle, but it was actually a really cool song. I truly loved it. So track two, I Won't Be Home from Christmas, Blink-182.
Nice. I'm never going to rip on you for picking Blink-182, man. Ever.
Wait till you hear what my number three is.
Oh, boy.
Chris, did Blink-182 make your list?
It didn't. It did not. I'm not going to blast Gomez for it because Blink-182 is, I mean, come on, man. That's our high school, right? And early college. So can't blast the guy, but no, unfortunately, did not make my playlist.
Yeah, Blink-182 actually has, believe it or not, a Christmas song on their Take Your Pants Off and Jacket album.
Really?
Yes, it's called Happy Holidays, You Bastard.
That's right.
It's 45 seconds of pure filth.
Yeah.
So on the edited version, the song is actually instrumental because there was no way for them to actually put the song on because pretty much every other word is a curse. And I honestly, as soon as Gomez said Blink-182, I thought that was the one he was going to go with. But I'm impressed with I Won't Be Home for Christmas because that's another good one. Unfortunately, did not make my list, but I might have some punkish flavor later on in my list. So we'll just put a pin in that for now. Right now, my track two, I'm going to go with a group that has a touch of an Irish descent.
The Cranberries? I'm sorry, go
ahead. Oh, God.
No, this, you know,
Dropkick Murphys?
Actually, yes, Dropkick Murphys off their 2013 album, Signed and Sealed in Blood.
I was joking.
I'm serious. The song
He's not.
Is...
He's too serious.
Good guess, Gomez. The track is called The Seasons Upon Us.
I was joking. I was going to go with U2 last, but...
No, I figured you would think you two because I said Irish, but no, Dropkick Murphys, and it's a punk song.
Mute him. Mute him.
Hold on.
He muted. Good. So, Dropkick Murphys. We're never finishing this episode. The song peaked at number...
So, Dropkick... No, go ahead.
Song peaked at number 23 on the Billboard US Hot Rock and Alternative Songs. Strangely enough, in January of 2014. So after the holiday season came to a close, the song made the charts. Go figure on that one. But this song is the perfect representation of a dysfunctional family holiday. The song is funny. The Dropkick Murphys are awesome. I absolutely love them. And I want to give a big shout out to our friend Dave from the Beer in Front podcast, who also chimed in with this amazing track, Dropkick Murphys, The Seasons Upon Us, my track two.
Awesome pick, Brian. Awesome, awesome pick.
Did you watch the video too?
Oh, the video's brilliant.
Brilliant, dude. The video's great. Not on my list, but just because it got to a point sometimes with this when we were doing this, so I was like, I have 25 non-traditional songs that I like. And certain bands and certain songs just didn't make it because we needed to narrow it down to 10. So it didn't even get in my honorable mentions, but when I was narrowing it down, it was there. And it's... I love the video.
The video is amazing. I think I should post the video on the Playlist Wars page.
You should.
Just because the video is that good. It deserves it.
You should.
Okay, I will. All right. Plus, you know, I'm the only one that has it on the playlist, so that's just a little extra feather in my cap
that's
that
right.
I'm probably going to lose anyway, but whatever.
Oh, my
Chris,
God.
Track three.
Really? So it's you know what, guys? I'm probably going to lose.
I'm going to lose to Gomez or Chris again. Oh, my God.
Bye, all right. Guys.
You know, we're talking Christmas. That just reminded me of that creature in the movie Elf that says goodbye to Elf.
Yes. I was thinking Eagle. I was thinking, was it Igor from Winnie
Eeyore.
The Pooh? Igor. Hi, Winnie. Hi, Pooh.
Hi, buddy. I hope you find your dad.
Okay, Chris, we're up to you for track three.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Now my stomach hurts. All right, so track three. I went instrumental on track three. This, I could have chosen Trans-Siberia Orchestra's any one of their three albums for Christmas I could choose. But 1996 was their first one. It's a rock opera album, as you guys know. Very tough. I'm cheating a little bit because I put both these songs on the same playing field, Christmas in Sarajevo and First Snow. I put both of these songs on the same level. Now, Gomez, when you're putting together the track list, put Christmas Eve in Sarajevo as the song. Make that the song. That's definitely the most popular one. It's definitely the most well-known. It wound up becoming like the best-selling Christmas song in the United States ever. But to me, First Snow is more of that amazing instrumental feel that blends like that classic seasonal feel with like new age rock. But one of the things I love about these, especially this first album from Trans-Siberia Orchestra, it really made me feel when I first heard it and when I listened to it since, that cool blending of like the traditional, I'm baking Christmas cookies, we're wrapping presents, we're putting lights on the Christmas tree with kick-ass rock, right? That nice blend. And I didn't need... They're singing in the album, of course, because it's a rock album, but I didn't need it for these two songs. They were able to give me that emotion and they were able to get me all pumped up and feel the season and still make me tap my feet and butt my head up and down and everything just with the rhythm of their melodies, their arrangements, the instruments, everything that's put together. These guys are seriously talented. And
they are.
They blend these very haunting melodies between Come Rescue Merry Gentlemen and Carol of the Bells. It's explosive. It rocks, and it's still got that Yuletide feeling. I'm in, guys. I put Christmas Eve in Sarajevo in there, but for anybody else out there who's listening, also listen to First Snow on that album. They're both fantastic.
So I did have Trans-Siberian Orchestra in my track list. It is actually number six for me.
Sweet.
Christmas Eve, Sarajevo. This is the one that attracted me to them. Mm-hmm. And then, don't get me wrong, First Snow, too, I've heard. But when I hear Trans-Siberian Orchestra, this is the one song I think of. Truly one of the best hard rock classical music ever. Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Christmas Eve, Sarajevo, 1224, track 6 for me.
Gentlemen, we have our first trifecta. That is my track 9.
Sweet.
The song I actually knew prior to all of the radio explosion of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, because a band that I listened to back in the 80s and 90s, Sabotage, had an album in 1995, the year I graduated high school, called Dead Winter Dead. And on that album is the actual first recording of Christmas Eve, Sarajevo, 1224. That was the impetus for the band to go and kind of become Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and the song was re-released as part of Christmas Eve and Other Stories, then became 3 times platinum, one of the top Christmas songs of all time. The song rocks. You guys said everything there is needs to be said about it. Although, Gomez, I'm actually shocked you did not drop the television reference of The Office, because it was used in the Christmas Wishes episode.
Here's the reason why.
Okay.
I didn't like the show.
Oh, okay.
I was not an Office guy.
All right. Well, if for those fans of The Office.
Now I lost points for that.
Yeah, please vote for Brian.
No, now wait a minute. So. My father's from Scranton, so vote for me.
I just said vote for Chris.
My middle name is Scranton. I'm actually Brian Scranton Colburn. So
eat that one.
My track 9, we have a trifecta, folks. And actually, the thing I want to say I'm the most shocked about, we had a ton of chime-ins from the playlisters on Twitter as well as in our Patreon account. And that's at patreon.com/playlistwars for those who have not been there yet. Not a single person mentioned this one, and I'm actually shocked. So I'll be curious to hear how the playlisters respond to this being a trifecta, because I kind of expected this to be a given.
I think that's why it wasn't mentioned, because I think it is a given. Like, it's gotten to the point, it is non-traditional, and I think it will remain non-traditional. But that whole album is non-traditional. But I think that it's become a modern classic now. And, you know, when you, whether you're on Spotify or whether you're listening to terrestrial radio, it doesn't really matter. This song has now become part of our Yuletide season. You hear it all the time. So I think that could be why people are like, you know what? That's traditional now, man. It's not. But I can totally understand why somebody would think that way, because it is absolutely a modern classic and deserves to be so.
Amen. I want to say I was in a store that had on like a Pandora station of just Christmas classics. And it was all like, you know, Bing Crosby, like I said, Frank Sinatra. And this came on in the mix. So, I mean, it, as heavy as it is, believe it or not, it's become traditional in its untraditional nature, which I think is amazing.
Yeah.
So absolutely. With that being said, first trifecta, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Christmas Eve, Sarajevo, 1224. Gomez, track 3.
So track 3, I decided, I know he said no parodies or this, but this is Bob Rivers we're talking about. And he did something really funny, and it reminds me now, as I gotten older, I come to appreciate the song 12 Pains of Christmas.
Dude, before you even say anything, I'm just saying I love it. I love it.
Hangovers.
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
One light goes out, they all go out. All right,
no, but if you think about it, when you're putting up your tree and the one damn bulb goes out, they all go out. Okay, it's true. You have either a bottle of wine or you're drinking a beer or whiskey or something. And yes, the next day, what do you have? The hangovers.
Oh my God, these Christmas cards.
Ringing out the lights. So... I, now as I'm becoming to fatherhood with my kids, and they're getting older, with my oldest, my daughter, she's ready to put up the blow up balloons.
Yeah.
So of course this weekend we're going to be buying some new ones.
You're so smart. You ring them.
Exactly.
You know, Gomez, you can buy strings of lights now that if one bulb goes out, the rest stay on. So we are in 2021 right now, and technology has come a long way.
Listen, not when you go to Target and you get them cheap, okay?
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Well, I did not go with any novelty songs because I'm saving that for our novelty songs episode next year. So if we do, that is probably going to make my list because I think that song is absolutely hysterical.
I know. I had to put one in.
It did not make mine, but thank you for putting it in because it put a big smile on my face.
I had to put one in because, with all the rest that I had, I'm like, the one that should make everyone laugh and totally get it now as we're adults and parents and all this stuff. So I figured this would be the best fitting one for all of us.
All right, Chris.
Didn't make it, but only because we weren't doing parodies. That's the only reason why. If we're doing parodies, spoiler alert, it's going to be on my list. It's going to be there. I don't know where it'll be, but it'll be there.
Well, folks, we could say right now, without a shadow of a doubt, next year will be the Playlist Wars novelty Christmas songs episode. So stay tuned for that. I'm giving a year ahead tease. So
spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, 12 Pains of Christmas will be in it.
Probably the first one for all three of us.
All right, so moving on to my track three. My track three is a group with a touch of an Irish descent.
Wait a minute.
Do I need to bring out the Irish?
Wait. I thought we had this already. Go ahead. No. Continue.
And guess what? It's not you two.
Damn it.
So, Gomez, the way you did a very happy, upbeat, novelty, fun Christmas song, this one is kind of the opposite, but when I think of untraditional Christmas songs, the Pogues' Fairy Tale of New York featuring Christy McCall is the true definition of an untraditional Christmas song, especially when its theme is not uplifting by any means. It's got controversial lyrics. But the song is truly a holiday song that stands the test of time. In the UK, Fairy Tale of New York is the most played Christmas song of the 21st century. And on VH1, it reached number one 3 years running in 2004, 2005, and 2006 on the VH1 Greatest Christmas Songs of All Time. It also reached number 27 on VH1's Greatest Songs to Never Make Number One. And number 23 on VH1's Greatest Lyrics. So here's a little PSA, because we do keep our shows PG for the most part here. Gomez, do not put the original version on PlaylistWarsPodcast.com. Go with the edited version.
Damn it.
The lyrics are definitely controversial. So the version that'll be up on the site will be with Christy McCall's updated lyrics. It'll be the edited one, but obviously, don't listen to it around the kids if you've never heard it before. But shout out to Jeff Scoble on Twitter, who chimed in with this one. It's actually an amazing, amazing tune. My track three, The Pogues, featuring Christy McCall, Fairy Tale of New York.
Now, I will be accepting Venmo and PayPal for putting the unedited version. I'm only kidding. Got to make money somehow.
I might get more votes if you put the unedited version. So I don't know. It all depends.
I'll put on the edited version. Movie. Don't vote for Brian.
Votes or not, did it make your list?
No, it did not make my list. I didn't even think about that one at all.
All right, Chris?
It didn't make my list, but I know what you're talking about, and I got to second what you say. If you got kids, be careful. You got to listen to the censored one, the new version. You got to listen to that. Yeah, you got to be careful. And the video is actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a fantastic song. And you know, the funniest part is, you know, I got like two Irish themed songs in a row here. And yeah, I normally don't go Irish with my Christmas songs. But for some reason, when Chris was on and you guys were thinking I was going to go with U2 the whole time, I figured why not go with some other songs that are not U2. So Chris, track four.
Look at you. So after my first three being more like rock, I wanted to, for my next couple of songs, I'm going to be a little happier, a little more with the season, if you will. So my number four, I want to give a shout out to Leah from She Will Rock You, shares this one with me. Number four is Train Shake Up Christmas from 2010. Now, Train flat out said that this sucker was written for pure commercialism. It was basically written for a Coca-Cola ad. And they said at the time, because the Great Recession was still happening, that if it spreads a little bit of cheer, and this is a quote, especially when the song was written during the recession, then we are happy to do it. It's basically what they said. And as it turned out, for me, it's a silly, funny, singable Christmas tune on my Christmas playlist, non-traditional Christmas playlist. And in recent years, they've actually changed it up. So if you listen to it now, and most likely, Gomez, when you download it, you put it on the website, you're probably going to get the new version. it's more authentic now. It's a little more organic. It's more about the season than about Coca-Cola, which I like. But it's I like fun Christmas songs in this part of my playlist, so this is why I chose this one. Shake Up Christmas from Train. It's a fun tune, guys. If you haven't heard it, recommend it.
Did not make my list, but again, that's probably one that should have been, but it didn't make it.
Train can go from a cover of Ramble On by Led Zeppelin that'll make your jaw drop on the ground to play that song, which rips off heart and soul in a way that makes your eyes bleed, even though you're hearing it. I don't know why. I should have went with ears bleed, but I went with eyes.
It's so bad.
Not your ear. It skips your ears. It goes right to the eyes. But Shake Up Christmas is right in the middle. I didn't like the Coca-Cola version, but the new version that's out, because the original version was so kind of commercially. I like the new version that isn't as much of a commercial. And I think it's a great song, but it did not make my list.
Yeah, it's just fun. But you're right. You got to move past
it. It really is.
Yeah.
Gomez, track four.
So track four, I went with something a little fun. This one, I've heard it when I was growing up as a kid, and to this day, brings me goosebumps. And I'm going to go Santa Claus is Coming to Town, the live version from 1975, Bruce Springsteen.
Excellent.
One of my favorite, because I love how he's doing this song and he's talking with the band. And the way he does the song is just brilliant, and I love it. And it, to this day, still one of my favorite songs. Bruce Springsteen, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, the live version from Greenville, New York, 1975.
Very nice. Very nice. I have two honorable mentions, and that's one of them. So it didn't make my top 10. Just squeaked out. You're probably going to be ticked off at one of the songs that did make it in.
I'm probably going to have to go to your house and
Dude, it's so good. It's such a great version of the song. And we start talking modern classics. There it is. Mm-hmm, there it is. Mm-hmm.
It just missed making my list as well, because I did go with some other classic rock artists in my list. But that's a very, very strong contender for my honorable mention tonight.
Let me put it this way. Wait till we get to number seven. I'm going to be dropping the mic on that one.
Okay. So you teased ahead, and now we're going to move on to my track four, which my track four was recorded by a group that has a touch of an Irish descent.
Really? Again?
Well, now, wait a minute here.
Can I bust out the Irish whiskey now?
Well, no, because you guys have been busting my chops since episode 5.
Whoa. We're not the only one who was busting chops here, buddy.
The whole world has been busting my chops.
Twitter
has been busting your nuts, man, not us.
Well, my track two was an Irish band that was not U2. My track three was an Irish band that is not U2. My track four is an Irish band that is U2. And it's U2, Christmas Baby, Please Come Home from 1987. It's a very special Christmas. Did you really think I was going to get through our Christmas songs episode and not plug a YouTube song in there?
Maybe.
No, I knew. Listen, when he said it in episode 5 for U2, he said this was going in there. So I agree with him.
Regardless, I said it 30 episodes and I'll say it now. I love this version of the song, and there's no way I could make a Christmas list without it. And I didn't want to make the playlisters have to listen through 6 more songs wondering when the hell I was going to list U2's Christmas Baby, Please Come Home, my track 4.
Well, Brian, add 4 more to mine. That's my track 8. U2, Christmas Baby, Please Come Home. So,
all right,
it's my track 8 on my list, man. I couldn't go without it either. It's another one classic tune. You said enough of it, Brian, in episode 5, and you said enough tonight. So, truly awesome song. It is my track 8.
I mean, come on. It's U2, seriously. So, I'm not going to put them on my playlist. It's actually my track 5. So, Baby Please Come Home is my track 5. And I don't care what anybody says. It is the greatest version of that song.
It is.
Hard stop. That's it. Greatest version of the song.
And I agree. Where was both of y'all's love for this song on episode 5?
Well, really simple. It wasn't Christmas time when we did that.
Really simple. There's 100 better U2 songs, which just goes to tell you how great U2 is. So screw you. Hey,
excuse me. Second place. Calm down there, okay? U2 is not your best episode here.
Doesn't matter. U2 is the greatest band ever, so I don't care.
You should have won that, Brock Star.
I just went too deep on tracks. See, if I had just done greatest hits, I would have been fine.
But I didn't do greatest hits. I went deep on one or two songs.
Oh, pshaw.
Oh, shaw.
You know what? I'm not going to trash talk this one because I lost every episode against you guys, but Nunny has went deep enough to go Christmas Baby Please Come Home. So
this is true. We did not.
But I am happy to say
it's not that, a U2 song. No,
but for the lack of love that Christmas Baby Please Come Home got in episode 5, it is redemption night tonight, as it is our second trifecta of the evening. Moving on to track 5, Chris, that is your pick. So Gomez, yes, we are back to you for track 5.
So track 5 was a song that I picked, and it was recorded back in 1960, but it was redone by somebody else. And it's that good old Italian donkey, Dominic, man. Dominic the Donkey by Biggio. Hey, come on, you got to admit, you can't go without Christmas without hearing this untraditional Christmas song, Dominic the Donkey. Okay, it's an Italian favorite. God, no, I'm not going to say a word. I'm not saying I'm keeping this clean. I'm keeping it clean. But it's just one of those untraditional good Christmas songs. It was redone by a gentleman named Baggio B.I. I found it and actually Spotify'd it about 2 weeks ago. And I actually like that version, but I still love the original, sung by, I believe, was Lou
Monti.
Thank you, Lou Monti. Thank you. I couldn't remember his last name, but I remember his first. So another great Christmas song, Dominic the Donkey by Baggio. So there we go. Track 5 for me.
I love the song, dude. It's on the Lou Monti version is on my Christmas playlist every year. The kids love when it comes on. It's a fun song. Did not make my list, but I love the pick.
We don't do video. You can't see me. I'm saluting you over here. Love the pick. Misses my playlist, but dude, love it.
And thank you.
The rest of the night, I'm just going to be in the back of my mind. Eow, eow. Eow. I'm just going to be.
I think we're all doing it.
Oh, man. I'm going to eat aunt right over to my track 5 now.
Segway.
Yeah, this is the worst segue ever, but it's all I had.
It's a bad joke one.
So, my track 5 is by a group with an Irish descent. No, I'm kidding. Oh
my God.
I was going to quit.
I was really going to go. I said, this show's over.
Released in 1981 as the B-side to his hit, My Kind of Lover, I'm going with Billy Squire, Christmas is the Time to Say I Love You.
Oh,
growing up, I watched MTV religiously, and I vividly remember the video that he recorded with all the MTV VJs singing along with him. And I remember them airing it every year around Christmas time. And apparently Martha Quinn remembers it as her all-time favorite MTV moment. So this song is fantastic. It's just fun. Billy Squire is a hell of a rock singer. I think he's very underrated. This is one of those Christmas songs that you hear on every single Christmas rock station when they do like 24 hours of Christmas music. This is always mixed in, even with the traditional music. And it's one of those modern classics. And I absolutely love the tune. And I want to give a shout out to Patreon playlister Tim McKay. And once again, Dave from the Beer in Front podcast, who also chimed in with my track 5, Billy Squire, Christmas is the Time to Say I Love You.
Very nice. And by the way, you know, we talk about cover songs a lot. SR-71 has an interesting cover of this song.
Yes, you're so right. You're
check
right.
out SR-71's version of this if you haven't. But
hell yeah, dude. Thanks for mentioning. I completely forgot about that one.
It's not on my list. So I'm sorry that it's not on my playlist. But, you know, I was actually, when you mentioned it, I was like, let me take a quick look. I remember this video, you know, old school recorded God knows when, right? So as you mentioned, I was like, let me see if it is what I remember. And it is. It's got the hair and the sweater and the acoustic guitar, right?
So yeah, like folks exactly. Stuff.
But oh man, it's perfection in so many ways. And no, didn't make my list, but good one.
Gomez,
good stuff.
Really, really good stuff, Brian. I can't say nothing about it because it didn't make my list, but it's a great, great, great tune, man.
All right. Now, if this is a very special Christmas album, we'd be flipping the vinyl over to side 2. That's my favorite Christmas album of all time, by the way. Little tidbit I'm going to drop here in the show that maybe we'll use in trivia down the road when we get to like episode 100 or something. That is my favorite Christmas album of all time, obviously, because Christmas Baby Please Come Home is on it. My track 6 was Twisted Sister's O Come O Ye Faithful, and Gomez's was Trans-Siberian Orchestra's Christmas Eve Sarajevo 1224. Chris, You're the lone track six remaining. What you got?
So track six, keeping in my middle of the playlist here, having some fun with a couple of songs and keeping your feet moving. I went with 1990s AC/DC's Mistress for Christmas. That's my track six. It is amazing to me that this song is on Razor's Edge. It's amazing to me that Thunderstruck and Are You Ready came from the album, and Mistress for Christmas is on it. The song's funny. It's foot stomping, enjoyable. It's like throwback. You know, when you listen to some AC/DC albums, you kind of roll your eyes. But this song is classic AC/DC. Classic. The guitar riff is not insane. Not insane. It's just very catchy. The rhythm is driving. It makes you hum. Vocals are kind of crazy, which is exactly what you would expect from AC/DC. Like really, really unique. It's just the guys having a blast. Comes across on the record. I like fun Christmas songs in the middle of my playlist. So AC/DC, Mistress for Christmas. And I cracked up when I re-listened to it. I love this song.
And I want to give a shout out to John Pritchard from the Well Disguised podcast, who also chimed in with AC/DC's Mistress for Christmas.
Awesome, awesome pick. I was going to go AC/DC, but I couldn't get it on this list. So it would be a hard honorable mention for me too.
Well, I will say this. 10 minutes before we started recording tonight, I swapped out Mistress for Christmas for O Come O Ye Faithful.
Okay.
So
still the same. Okay.
If we recorded at 20 minutes earlier, Mistress for Christmas would have been my track six. So with that being said, I'm dropping this early. My honorable mention song of the night is going to be AC/DC's Mistress for Christmas. We did a whole episode on AC/DC. If you want to hear that, go back and check it out. I absolutely love this song. Chris, I know you're a fan of Hailstorm. Make sure you check out the cover of Mistress for Christmas by Hailstorm, which was put out as a digital single a few years ago.
Sweet.
Covers aside, I know there's been a bunch of songs still on our brackets that have yet to be named, but because I was fighting with that one and I ended up going with Twisted Sister, I have to plug it in as my honorable mention early tonight. So that's a first on the show as well.
Well, I had to plug in my Santa Claus is coming to town early too, because Gomez went. Yeah. Yeah. Go for it. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no problem, because we're right back to you anyway, because we're up to track seven now.
Oh, that's right. You guys at six.
Whoops.
Rocketing through. So usually for my playlists, as we get into like 7-8, I try to get, you know, my playlists get a little maybe heavier, a little deeper. It might be a little sadder. So I'm going to need a minute for this one, for track seven. So for track seven, I went 1992, a song by the artist Amy Grant, and it's called Breath of Heaven. Now, I almost went grown-up Christmas list for this one, because this version is way better than Kelly Clarkson's version. I don't care what anybody says. Her version is way better. But I'm not a contemporary Christian rock fan, so I got to throw that out there right now. I am not. But my late mother loved Amy Grant, mm-hmm. and she loved her Christmas albums. And a lot of my memories of the season, the smells of cookie making, the traditions, some things decorating the tree, I have this song in the background. I have that album kind of playing in my head in the background as well. The song is this sad, haunting song that just has Amy's vocals, a piano, and some strings with a fantastic melody. Tells the story, the nativity story from Mary's perspective. You know, Jesus' mother, if you're a Christian out there, it's Jesus' mom. Just a scared girl. A virgin being told she's having a baby in a world where that would have been her death sentence, basically. Dealing with what she's being asked to do and asking God to just give her strength to make it through this so she doesn't basically drop dead of, you know, just panic or whatever it is. It's powerful stuff, and it reminds you of what the season is all about, regardless of the religious aspects. Even if you don't believe in Jesus, just remembering that we have to be there for one another, just remembering that there are more important things in the season than just buying presents. And this brings me a lot of memories back of my mother as well. So my number seven is Breath of Heaven from Amy Grant, 1992. It is a beautiful song. And if you don't know it, I highly recommend streaming it and listening to it. Sometimes it brings a tear to my eye when I hear it.
Amy Grant, I can hate her or love her. You know what I mean? She's one of those artists that I could really, truly dislike or I truly love. The story you just told for that one, I respect that pick. I did listen to the Kelly Clarkson version and compared it to Amy Grant's a few days ago. And I'll just say Amy Grant's version was a lot better than Kelly Clarkson's.
No disrespect to Kelly. No, definitely not.
She did a great job. But what Amy Grant did for that song compared to Kelly, it was a totally different thing. So I admire the pick, Chris. It brings home for you. And that's a great pick, man.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, it is an absolutely gorgeous song, whether it is by Amy Grant or Kelly Clarkson. It did not make my list, but dude, you know, when you talk about those songs that are played in the background, like that gave me goosebumps, because the songs that would have been my childhood Christmas growing up would have been like songs from Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas, because I always had that playing.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
Teaser, folks, next week on Playlist Wars, we're going toward the Muppets with our friend Melissa Boilo from the Songs from the Attic radio show. So we'll be talking plenty of Muppets then, because there are no Muppets in tonight's episode. But hearing that story put a big smile on my face. It unfortunately didn't make my list, but I totally get what you're saying, that being in that Christmas moment, it just puts you there.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing, dude. So unfortunately, it did not make my list, though.
Totally understandable. But you guys understand why it's on my list. You know,
100%. Gomez, track 7.
So track 7, I said around track 3, I think it was, that I had a little mic drop for you on this one. And I went with a little bit of Monster Ballad Christmas song. And I went with Firehouse Rocking Around the Christmas Tree.
Very nice.
That's what I said. I had to drop the mic one. When I heard this version, don't get me wrong, I love the original. My daughter, my family loves the original one. But when I was listening to this one, I'm like, really? This is awesome. Awesome rock. Not making fun of it. It was really a great rock song, man. They really rocked Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, because it was just, it sounds like if I was putting it in a Christmas movie, like a revamp of Home Alone with a different Macaulay Culkin, this song I would be playing when Harry and the other guy was trying to break into the house, and Marvel. There he is, and you hear him rock around the Christmas tree, I would hear Firehouse instead.
I hate to spoil it, dude, but they just released a brand new Home Alone, Alone Home Again.
No. I'm not talking about the, listen, from after 2 on, I don't care, after 3, 4, and whatever, those don't count.
The fact that they had more than one, isn't it that like the worst family ever to keep ditching their kid all the time at the Christmas? Like, really?
Well, no. Well, Home Alone 1, they thought they had all their kids because they counted the kid from across the street.
Right, right.
And then in Home Alone 2, he was in the van this time going, they're supposed to go to Florida, except he thought he was following his dad and he went to New York City instead. So that's technically not the parents' fault. That's the kid's fault on that one.
Oh, God, we're sidetracking here.
And the airline. Go find an empty seat. Merry Christmas. What? Dumbass.
Did that make anybody's list now?
No, I love the pick because I actually love Firehouse. I did not go with any hair bands on my list except for Twisted Sister. So I love the pick, but it did not make my list.
It didn't make mine either. But man, you got to listen next time you listen to it, listen to the bass line in that song. Listen to the guitars. Listen to the way it steps through the rhythm. It's freaking great. It's freaking great.
As I said, if they were going to redo Home Alone, the original, with Macaulay Culkin, okay, I could see this song being played in that part, that scene of the guys trying to break into the house when they went to go check the house out that night. You know what I mean?
It'd be so fantastic. Macaulay Culkin in his 40s doing the kid being home.
Listen, if they do that, I better get paid extra money because this was my idea.
Honestly, and
this
is if they were going to reboot it, it should have been Macaulay Culkin's kids, that he actually left one of his kids somewhere. That would have been a fun plot. But
Macaulay's got to drink like Ensure before they get
I made my family disappear.
Oh, man.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
All right. Well,
as we go off topic,
Chris,
like usual here.
Did Firehouse make your list?
No, it did not. But as I said before, listen to it. Listen to the rhythm. You'll all love it if you're out there. But no, it didn't make my list.
Well, my track 7 is one that I think if there was any other song on my list that was going to cross over with you, Chris, I think this will be it. And I'm going with a song from 1997's A Very Special Christmas 3. And it's a cover of a song that came out a year earlier in 1996 by a band called The Vandals. And The Vandals guitarist Warren Fitzgerald produced No Doubt's version of the song, Oi to the World.
Oh, I know. I was going to say, I know exactly where you're going. Go ahead.
This song introduced me to the Vandals because I did not know the Vandals prior to hearing No Doubt's Oi to the World. And I'm a big fan of the Vandals now, so I kind of thank this song for doing it. But as much as I love the Vandals version, I'll be the first to admit that No Doubt takes it to another level. And Gwen Stefani's vocals on this track are just perfect. The video's fun. It's very 90s. It was when No Doubt had a little bit more of a punk vibe to them. It was before they kind of went dance pop. And it's a fun song. It gets your head moving up and down, gets you singing along. The kids love it. Like, they just love singing along with it. It's a fun track. And No Doubt is a very big part of my Christmas playlist because of this song. So, yeah, it's No Doubt, track 7, Oi to the World.
That is an awesome pick, man. It did not make my list, but I that's going to be another one for me. That might have to be an honorable mention, man. I got 3 of them already. This is not good.
Chris?
It didn't make it, but you're right. Whoa, that is a place where it could potentially, you know, crisscross with me. And you have that. And it's, dude, you're right. The vocals are spot on. Her vocals are spot on. And it's fun with the oi. The guitar riff's great. It's driving. I like songs that make you tap your feet. That does it. Yeah, I'm with you. It just unfortunately didn't make it just because I have other songs on my list. But I love the pick.
Awesome. Awesome. So we're moving on to track 8. Gomez had You Too, Christmas Baby, Please Come Home. Chris, what do you got for us?
So my last few songs, one or two of them might be groaners, at least for Gomez. They'll be groaners. But I don't care because the songs that I want on my playlist.
We'll see. We'll see.
So this one's not as deep as the previous song, but it's still a little bit of a downer before I lighten it up for 9 and 10. Went 1984, Wham's Last Christmas.
Wait a minute. I'm not going to groan. I'm like, what?
So first and foremost, the song is number 8 on my list, and it's on my playlist because of my beautiful wife. That's number 1. This may be one of her all-time favorite Christmas songs ever. So we wind up listening to it multiple times per season. And I'm not going to lie to you guys. It's finally grown on me. It really has. Yes, it's overproduced. Yes, it's synthesized to the snare drum. There's electronic tones. Vocals are cleaned up 50 times over and watched through. They basically repeat the same damn thing over and over and over again. But at its core, the song's actually a little sadder and a little more painful. Like, the poor guy fell in love and 24 hours later, the relationship's over. He probably got played. And to make it worse, he says in the song, if the person came back to him, he'd be like, yeah, I'll let you play me for a fool again. Like, it's actually kind of a deep, sad song. Damn. And it's a little bit worse than I originally thought when I first started listening to it, because it's got that drum beat and you just wind up humming it over and over again. But all joking aside from that, it's very dancey. It's very catchy. I think this one's also creeping into modern classic territory, but it's still very non-traditional. So it makes my playlist mostly for my wife, but I ain't going to lie, guys. I like it too.
There's a great cover by Jimmy Eat World of that. I don't know if you've ever heard it. But
it's a really good cover by Jimmy Eat World of this. Yeah.
And Frank Turner has one too. I love the song, believe it or not. Like, because you hear Wham, and like, I get it. The people hear,
the groaners.
Like, they made a movie based on it. So, I mean, like, it kind of falls under that chick flick category. But I love the pick. The song doesn't give me the groans like, I'm going to say it. If any of you guys have it at your 9 or 10, I apologize in advance. But Paul McCartney simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
Nope.
No, I don't have it, but I know what you're saying.
I know what you're saying.
That makes me groan. That to me is, and I apologize to the Beatles fans out there. I still love you all, but that one does not do it for me. But Wham's Last Christmas actually does, but it did not make my list.
Unfortunately, did not make my 9 or 10, which I'm kind of surprised we haven't talked about these two songs either yet. So I'm kind of interested to see what Brian's number 8 was.
Well, my number 8. Now let's see. I want a new Rickenbacker guitar, 2 Fender Bassmans, a Chuck Berry songbook, a xylophone. Yes, folks, there was no way Tom Petty wasn't making my list. I'm going with, from 1992's A Very Special Christmas 2, Tom Petty, Christmas All Over Again. I love the fact that this is a Petty original. You feel it. It's a Tom Petty song. It would fit on a Tom Petty album. Mm-hmm. And it's just a perfect Christmas song. And look, I get to drop a movie reference here. As we were talking about Home Alone before, it was in Home Alone 2, Lost in New York.
New York, yeah.
And I was biting my tongue the whole time we were talking about Home Alone back there because I didn't want to spill it. But come on, you know me and Tom Petty. There was no way I was getting through a Christmas episode without Christmas All Over Again by Tom Petty. It's one of my favorites. And yeah, I'll be curious to see if either you guys have it. That's my track 8.
I don't, but it's a cool song. And it's funny, you know, forget Home Alone 2, which, you know, it's such a big part of all our childhoods. It's Home Alone 1 and Home Alone 2. And no other Home Alones exist, by the way. I don't care what anyone says. They just don't exist. They don't exist. But Home Alone 1 and 2, those movies are such big parts of all our holiday seasons. And you know, remember watching them and laughing and cracking up. And so, but take that out of it. I just like the song on its own. Forget the movie. Great. It's a great tune. It's a great holiday song. It's a cool Christmas song about everything that goes into the holiday itself. Great vocals. Good pick, man. Just didn't make my list.
Brian, I love the pick. And what's kind of funny is I just showed Isabella, my daughter, Home Alone 1 just this weekend.
Nice.
So Home Alone 2 is coming up soon for her too. And just, it's just a great pick, Brian, but it didn't make my list either, unfortunately.
Don't
let her throw bricks at people after she watches that movie.
Only you, Gomez. Let her throw bricks at you.
No. Oh, no. I'll make sure she throws at Uncle Brian, too.
All right. We're moving on to track 9. My pick was Trans-Siberian Orchestra's Christmas Eve, Sarajevo 1224. Chris, what do you got for track 9?
So, track 9. So, from 9 and 10, I got to get a little happier to close out my playlist. Going for 2003, From the Darkness. I'm going with their song, Christmas Time. And there's another name for it that I don't think I'll say right now because, like you said, we are PG. But this song is so funny and so wrong at the same time, especially when you understand the kind of band that The Darkness is and the parody that they're attempting. Like, with everything that they try to do, with all the jokes they make, they're fabulous musicians. They really are.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Fabulous musicians. And Justin's falsetto here is, like, spot on. Solos, harmonizing, great. It's this combination of classic rock, Christmas song, and this band that's like half making fun of things, but half taking things seriously at the same time. So when you first hear the song, you're not really sure what to make of it. And then you listen to it a couple of times and you realize they're talking about, like, okay, like dudes, like private areas, and like, you know what I mean? Like all kinds of horrible stuff that they're talking about.
But love.
Guarantee you, you're gonna tap your feet and hum along to this song. I guarantee it's about as untraditional as you can get from a band that's always been untraditional while pretending to be traditional. So I love The Darkness. I love this song. Makes my number 9. I think the song's fantastic.
Oh, God. That's just a great pick. It just cannot make my list when it comes to untraditional, but great pick. Unfortunately, it's not on my list, man.
These guys are crazy.
I only have one song left, and that ain't it. But that is a fun, fun song. And yeah, I totally, if you don't get The Darkness, like, you need to understand the band to understand the tongue-in-cheek nature of the fact that they're ridiculously incredible musicians. So
and there's reasons why the song is called Don't Let the Bells End. So we'll leave it there. But yeah. It's they're such a mess. That band is such a mess.
Yes,
but they're
they
so
are.
Talented.
Oh, they're ridiculous. It's almost like a Steel Panther. Steel Panther is
so great.
Oh my God, and they're even crazier.
We're not going to talk about any of their songs on this show because we can't, but
we can't.
At the end of the day, they're ridiculously good musicians, and we'll just leave it at that.
We'll just say this. Even though we're indie podcasters, the FCC will shut us down somehow.
All right, Gomez, what do you got for your track 9?
So my track 9, I'm kind of surprised that no one has mentioned this song, especially during Christmas. It's a 1984 version of Band-Aid, Do They Know It's Christmas?
Yeah, good song,
mm-hmm. man. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite songs, and plus it was in the movie Daddy's Home Too, whatever the Will Ferrell, John Cena part, he goes, damn, I love that song. It's just a great song when you hear it. I mean, they have another version, I think it was in 2007, I think it was. A cover of it, but I go back to the original and just everything about the song is so awesome. So track 9, 1984's version, Band-Aid, Do They Know It's Christmas?
It didn't make my list, but It's a beautiful one, and it's cliche when you listen to the song, right? It's like, oh, there's poor people, there's people that have been, they're in war-torn countries, you know, there's people with racial injustices, whatever. Do they even know it's Christmas? Okay, it's a little cliche, but the message and what they tried to do is still very beautiful. And when I hear the song, I can't help but hum it.
I can't
help but hum it. It is a great tune. You got to move past. I know it was a little controversial, especially, you know, thinking about the area of the world that they were singing about. The history of colonialism and everything. But what they tried to do was a good thing. What they were trying to do was a good thing. Good tune. Missed my list, but good tune.
Yeah, I had a hard time not putting it on my list. It is a fantastic song. I have it on my Christmas playlist. We listen to it every year. Mm-hmm. I struggled with including this one and not. I want to give a shout out to our Patreon playlister, Tim McKay, who did chime in with this one. It's a great tune. And I just have one story about it. We were watching back in 2018, one of the country music award shows, and Dierks Bentley performed his song Woman Amen on the show. And I'm sitting there listening to this song and I'm going, why do I know this song? And Katie goes, it's his new single. How could you possibly know it? And the chorus, he's going, oh, 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 and I'm like, I'm sitting there for about a half hour humming this, that over and over and over again. And I'm going, what song is that? And all of a sudden I went, he ripped off Band-Aid.
It literally ripped off the Band-Aid. God, what a bad dad joke that is.
It's the exact riff. So if you don't know the song Woman Amen from Dierks Bentley, go back and listen to it. And when you hear it, it might be one or two notes different, but it's pretty damn close. But I love the song. I just couldn't find the right spot to fit it in, especially because I had to kind of troll you guys with tracks 2 and 3 with my Irish pick. So,
God, I'm going to start drinking some Irish whiskey soon.
Well, you better, because we're down to track 10 now.
Yeah.
And we have two trifectas tonight, and track 10 is wide open right now.
But what are the odds of a bingo on track 10?
That would be pretty awesome, but
doubt it.
Chris, what are you closing with, man? Let's see.
I know it won't be a trifecta. I know. I know it. And it is a groaner. And I'm going to defend this groaner. And I don't really care. And I'm going to say it right now before I even say the song. I love the song. It's a good song by an artist that was in the 90s, was taking off like you wouldn't believe. We're all sick of the song. Don't care. I don't care. I don't care what anybody says. So whatever. Screw y'all. My number 10 ending, as happy as I possibly could end my personal playlist, 1994's Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas. So you could screw off. I need to apologize for anybody that either like me was a bartender, worked in a restaurant, or you worked in a mall. So around Christmas time, just want to apologize because you know we all heard it over and over again. This might be one of the most infectious Christmas songs ever made, like ever made. As soon as you hear the opening jingle, the opening notes, her voice, you cringe. But then you're like, oh God, I want to dance. Why do I want to dance? Like, you want to stomp your feet and you want to be happy and you hear a voice and you're just like, oh my God, what the hell? I wind up liking it. And everybody I talk to, with the exception of Gomez, says the same exact thing. They're all like, yeah, listen, no, I don't like that song. But they're like, oh God, yeah, I love it.
I truly dislike this song. I'd rather go through Root Canal with no Novocaine.
Let me tell you, her voice crushes in the song.
Her voice cannot crush this song anymore.
I don't care what she can do now. She can't do anything now, and I know that.
She screwed it up 3 times in a row on live TV.
Who cares? I don't care about that. I care about the record. I don't care that Bono can only sing half the stuff that he can sing. No, it's Bono. But he's still better singing than Mariah.
Wait, hold on. Okay. Bono doesn't lip sync like Mariah Carey did in that NBC special.
Gomez, you're missing something here. So hold on. I'm not defending Mariah Carey, and I'm not a fan of hers in any way, shape, or form. So I could care less about if somebody, whatever. We've all heard her, like at the Christmas specials and stuff, like Light in the Tree. No.
Yes.
No, she's not good. This song, though, bass riff is phenomenal. Her arrangement, her band, out of control. Drums are great. You got the stupid jingle bells going behind it. This song bleeds Christmas, and it bleeds non-traditional Christmas. It's just everywhere. Christmas is vomiting all over the place with this freaking song. It really is. So I'm ending it. I'm ending my playlist with this. It's just, when you're thinking non-traditional, you're thinking pop, it's just the perfect song. It's, whether you hate it or not, and there's a lot of people that probably do, It's played all the time. It's just, to me, a perfect ending for my playlist.
Well, I'll say this. You definitely got Sean Morton's vote now, tonight. I know that. He is a stan for Mariah Carey. But I'm actually kind of like viscerally mad at you because I thought we were closing in on a bingo here. And you killed this bingo with the
worst.
Like, where you guys said I kind of killed the U2 episode with Christmas Baby, Please Come Home. I think you just killed Christmas with Mariah Carey.
Well, see, you guys could be happy because then Brian, see, you'll finally beat me. So that'll be good, right? So I have to throw you a bone, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah, thank you. From a gameplay perspective, I'm thrilled with the pick.
I actually remember I was in a barber shop 2 years ago before COVID, and I cringed when I heard this song. Like, they're like, Gomez, why? I go, because I'm so sick of Mariah Carey and her voice. When she was younger, okay. 90s, ugh. Now, forget about it.
The only other thing I'll say is we have producer Allie on the results shows, and when her volleyball team is warming up, since September, they've been playing this as one of their warm-up songs. So I think right now I have a little bit of PTSD from that, but yeah, it didn't make my pick. And judging by Gomez's visceral hate, it didn't make his either. Gomez?
My track 10, I went with something more fun, though. And Brian probably has this with me. I went with Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC. Now that's a true Christmas song. You got the elf rocking up with the candy cane song. You got Run DMC talking about Christmas, everything, pumpkin pie. It's just a great song. And just the beat to it. This is the one song I always want to end my Christmas list with. And it's fun, way too much stuff. The Christmas gifts is funny because they get the hat, the chain, the shoes that they stay wear. It's just overall great fun song. Run DMC, Christmas in Hollis.
It is my favorite Christmas song of all time, and it is what I closed my track list out with as well. Oh, Chris, man, you're Mariah.
No one's gonna. You're kidding me. I'm humming Mariah's song before I'm humming that.
No, dude, no. Christmas in Hollis is. I mean, dude, we're talking Backdoor Santa's awesome. And honestly, I had a hard time not putting B.B. King and John Popper's version of Backdoor Santa in my list. But I said, you know what? Run DMC is closing it with their version of Backdoor Santa, which is Christmas in Hollis.
Oh, my God.
I've said it before. A Very Special Christmas is my favorite Christmas album of all time. Christmas in Hollis is actually the first song on side two. I almost spilled that when I did my halfway through the episode spiel. The iconic music video actually beat Michael Jackson's Bad for Rolling Stone's best video of the year in 1987.
It is the best freaking video ever.
And Gomez, I'm actually shocked you didn't drop these references, but I get to because you never miss these opportunities.
I know.
It was in Die Hard. And it was in The Grinch, two movies I have seen. And then for TV shows, I know you haven't seen The Office. It was in that. And then Orange is the New Black, along with dozens of other shows I haven't seen. Same thing with movies. And I want to give a shout out to our friends at the Space Castle podcast who correctly picked this song as well. I love you, Chris, man. I'm just I have no problem with it not being a trifecta or not being a bingo. Actually, I do.
Because
it was Mariah. Like that's the, like if you had the darkness at track 10, I would have been like, okay, I guess. But you Mariah'd it. Holy moly. That's
like you guys take it so personally, which actually makes me own it even more. Like I love it even more. Like I like
you know
being
funny.
I kind of like being Darth Vader and choking you out. I kind of enjoy it.
Listen, Darth Maul, you ain't choking anybody. You ain't Darth Vader on this one.
Give me a different analogy. You're failing at that one. It's not
really. So Chris snapped his finger like Thanos and Mariah That's carried our bingo.
Oh, forget
your analogy was better.
Oh, you know what? Screw both of you. I'm going to win this one just because of that. Oh, excuse my language.
Hey, keep your language clean. God. This is a family episode, Gomez. You are. Wow, I got to beep out Gomez here. I don't believe this, folks. All right. Well, we're at that point of the episode now where we get to reveal our honorable mention songs of the night. And I'm going to make it real quick and easy for mine. I said it earlier. I'm not changing it. Chris, I'm tipping the hat to you. AC/DC's Mistress for Christmas, and I haven't changed it. As much as Mariah Carey did make a strong push for me to swap it out, I decided that...
oh, God, I would have smacked you too, Brian.
She should.
AC/DC wins it for my honorable mention. Chris, honorable mention.
Cracks me up that you guys have no comfort in your masculinity. It's okay. No, I already had mine, and it was Santa Claus Is Coming to Town. That fantastic version. Santa
Tipping Claus the hat to Gomez. All right. Gomez.
I had a hard time with this one, Brian and Chris. Chris had two of them. Brian had one, but I'm going to go with the Weezer.
All right.
Weezer. All right. I'm tipping the hat to Chris on Weezer, man. I like that version. I should have put it on my list, but I went with Dominic the Donkey instead. I'm surprised no one picked that one.
Oh, this is close, man.
This is fantastic. And look, we haven't given a lot of shout outs tonight, and that's not because we didn't get any. We got tons.
We got way too many.
There are a lot out there.
Now, we don't have time to hit all of the ones from Twitter, but we got to shout out our awesome Patreon members at patreon.com/playlistwars. Tim McKay, who we mentioned earlier, who chimed in with Band-Aids, Do They Know It's Christmas, also chimed in with the Bare Naked Ladies with Sarah McLachlan, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, and We Three Kings. Anthony Welk chimed in with a trio of songs from Sia. So he gives us his own trifecta of Sia songs, Candy Cane Lane, Snowflake, and Puppies Are Forever. Chael chimed in with Nano War of Steel, Val Hallelujah. If you haven't heard that one, you definitely got to look it up. And Brad Sorensen chimed in with the Ramones' Merry Christmas, I Don't Want to Fight Tonight. Smashing Pumpkins' Christmas Time, which was also from A Very Special Christmas 3.
Yes,
and so Everclear, I Will Be Hating You for Christmas.
Why would I hate anybody for Christmas?
Well, you just did, man. You've been crapping all over poor Chris.
No, so are you for one song, too.
No. I'm not crapping on Chris. Chris is the bee's knees, man, but I crapped on the pick.
You even said he Mariah'd us. Come on.
Yes, but Chris, I'm not mad at Chris for that. The fact that we were able to make Mariah a verb in this episode. Sean's never coming on this show again, by the way, I'll tell you right now.
Well, her people will never join us on that one, so thank God.
She's well taken care of. We have nothing to worry about.
Yeah, Mariah doesn't need Playlist Wars, unfortunately. So.
Gomez was talking about the dark side. There it is. She is
the dark
Sith.
Side.
She is the Sith, man.
She is the Sith Lord. Oh, my God. She's the ultimate Sith Lord.
Oh, this is terrible. We're going on a 10.
All right. Well, before we tangent this into off the deep end here,
just Chris, let's
bring it back to the Christmas spirit and all the loving holiday nature. Chris, why don't you run through your track 1 through 10 as well as your honorable mention for the night?
You got it. My 1 through 10. Number one, Mariah. I'm kidding. Hold on. Number one.
No, he's not, ladies and gentlemen.
My number one was Twisted Sisters, Oh Come All Ye Faithful. Number two, Weezer's version of The First Noel. Number three, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Christmas Eve in Sarajevo, 1224, with also First Snow, by the way, is on the same album. Number four, Train, Shake Up Christmas. Five, The Greatest Band Ever, U2, Baby Please Come Home. Number six, AC/DC, Mistress for Christmas. Number seven, Amy Grant's Breath of Heaven. Number eight, Wham, Last Christmas, I Gave You My Heart. Number nine, The Darkness, Christmas Time. And number 10, Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. My honorable mention was stolen from Gomez, Santa Claus Is Coming to Town. From the E Street Band.
Gomez.
Track one, Xmas in Hell, a.k.a. Christmas in Hell.
I gotta mute myself because that makes me laugh. I'm sorry.
Great way to start off the list. Track two, Blink 182's I Won't Be Home for Christmas. Track three, Hangovers, Bob Rivers tweet, 12 Pains of Christmas. Track four, Bruce Springsteen, Santa Claus Is Coming to Town, live version from Greenville, New York, 1975. Eon Baggio for Dominic the Donkey. Track six, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Christmas Eve, Sarajevo, 1224. Track seven, Firehouse, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. Track eight, U2, Christmas Baby, Please Come Home. God, I can't believe I put that in two. Track nine, Band-Aid, Do They Know It's Christmas, the 1984 version. Track 10, Run-DMC's Christmas in Hollis. And the tip of the cap to Chris, and my honorable mention, Weezer's First Noel.
All right. And my track one, Brian Setzer Orchestra's Getting in the Mood for Christmas. Track two, the Dropkick Murphys, The Season's Upon Us. Track three, The Pogues featuring Christy McCall, Fairy Tale of New York. Track four, for the second time in Playlist Wars history, U2, Christmas, Baby, Please Come Home. Track five, Billy Squire, Christmas is the Time to Say I Love You. Track six, Twisted Sisters, O Come O Ye Faithful. Track seven, No Doubts, Oi to the World. Track eight, Tom Petty's Christmas All Over Again. Track nine, Trans-Siberian Orchestra's Christmas Eve, Sarajevo, 1224. And track 10, Run DMC, Christmas and Hollis, with a tip of the hat to Chris for AC/DC's Mistress for Christmas. We have two trifectas tonight for actual song trifectas, which is pretty big when you do kind of a wide net like this episode is. And that's the Trans-Siberian Orchestra's Christmas Eve, Sarajevo, 1224. And yes, folks, you two, Christmas Baby, Please Come Home gets its redemption with a trifecta. We can finally put the Christmas Baby, Please Come Home to bed.
Except we got Mariah'd.
For the next 30 episodes, every time someone kills a bingo, it's going to be called Mariah'd.
Now, wait a Mariah'd, bro.
Oh, man. Chris, it's always an absolute pleasure having you on, man. Why don't you tell people where they can find the Film Exiles and let people know what's going on with you guys?
Absolutely. It's a blast. And I really appreciate you guys asking me to come on. It's always fun. And you always give me an opportunity to go down memory lane, too, which is great. And we bust each other's chops a little bit, try to keep it PG.
Oh, we do that. Well, and let's also put this out there for the people that have not heard the episodes with you before. The three of us went to high school together, so the chop busting is a lot higher in these episodes than it is in other ones where it's a little more friendly banter because we don't know people for 30 years like Gomez, Chris, true, and I know each other.
True.
You know,
and hopefully, you know, people can hear in the recording the amount of love that's there, because I got a lot of love for both of you guys. And
likewise, same here, man.
Known you for a long time, and when I got very sick recently, both of you guys checked on me and wanted to make sure I was doing all right, and I was in the ICU and I got out okay. So thank you. Big thank you to you guys. Hey, anybody out there wants to listen to the Film Exiles? We're taking a little bit of a break right now. We had some guys get sick, but basically what we do is we break down movies, pop culture, video games, anything that's out there, whether it's franchise stuff like Star Wars or whether it's movies like Dune that really deserve a lot more attention. We try to break that down. You can find the Film Exiles podcast at The Film Exiles on Twitter. They're also on the Vero social media app at the same place. And we are taking a lot of suggestions from people on what we should be doing next. So I'm really hoping in the next couple months that we have some announcements for everybody. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at the same place. I'm at Chart6363. I'm the therapeutic guitarist. I'll tell you guys one day how I got that name.
Good Lord.
May or may not have been alcohol involved. Just saying.
There was probably a lot of alcohol involved.
Drinking really comes into a lot of stories. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
And a lot of the episodes of Playlist Wars, too.
But. Yeah, I pretty soon might have to start drinking during these episodes, I think.
Now, Playlisters, it's time for you to head over to PlaylistWarsPodcast.com and vote for which one of the three of us you think got it right. And Gomez, you could take us home and put the cherry on top of this Christmas pie, if you want to call it that.
Or the hangovers.
Put the cherry on your, what do you call that? The whiskey sour from your hangover.
The
whiskey sour
or the old fashioned
Christmas card. Sorry.
Ringing up the lights.
It's never going to end.
No, definitely not. First of all, wish both of you guys and your families a truly happy and safe Christmas for both of you guys and your families, and also a happy new year. Also to the playlisters, Merry Christmas to everybody.
And whatever you celebrate, if you don't celebrate Christmas and you celebrate Hanukkah, happy Hanukkah and all of the other holidays. Yes, this is a Christmas-themed episode, but we do recognize that not everyone celebrates Christmas. So in true fashion, happy holidays, no matter what it is you celebrate.
Exactly. And that was my next thing. Thanks, Brian.
No problem.
So Merry Christmas and happy holidays to everybody, all the playlisters. Chris from Film Exiles, thank you again for jumping in with us. Ryan, my right-hand man, thank you again for doing everything. I really appreciate it. And to all the playlisters, thank you again. Make sure you check us on patreon.com/playlistwars, where we do have some tiers on there. Check us out on that. but also vote on this awesome, awesome Christmas episode, holiday episode at PlaylistWarsPodcast.com. Vote who got it right. And we will see you next time when a new battle takes place on Playlist Wars. Good night, everybody.
You can find Playlist Wars on Facebook and Twitter at Playlist Wars, on Instagram at Playlist Wars Podcast, on email at playlistwars@gmail.com, or via voicemail at 201-644-6498. That's 201-644-6498. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, be sure to leave a 5-star review and be sure to tell a friend or multiple friends about the show. Until next time, thanks for listening.